Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Free agency is kind of a two-way street. Like, the team commits to you and they pay you handsomely and pay you money, and then you do your homework as a player and you grind to make it to free agency, and it's a big honor to even get there and have teams interested in you. And then, you know, you get to vet teams and think about cities and where you want to live and maybe buy a house. So there's a lot that goes into it, and it's a two-way commitment. It's kind of like a little mini marriage. So I've had a great time here. I love showing up here every day. It's a great group of guys. I think we've said it a lot, like, I feel like we should be better than we are, but to this point, we just haven't gotten it done, and results speak louder than, you know, any words we can say here. So, I would love to stay here, obviously. I chose coming to Chicago and being a Cub, so that's where I'm at.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Ugh. And that's the voice of Jamison Tyon. He sounds like someone told him something, okay, Mr. David.
So
I'm sorry.
When I hear it again, yes. I hear what you're hearing. I mean, it sounded like somebody wrapping up mentally the time he's had here, preparing himself for the possibility that he will be traded. And that might have been his last start at Wrigley Field. I go back to Saturday, Bruce Levine saying, when I asked him, will Jamison Tyon be here beyond July 30th? And he said, not likely. That is not good news for Cub fans. The Red Sox were rumored to be interested. The Yankees certainly know him and are interested. Other teams would be. He's been very consistent this year and over this last, you know, calendar year, the last 33 starts.
Listen, I got nothing but time for the guy. He's been excellent, and I can't help but feel that if they dump him at this point, it has nothing to do with his performance. It has everything to do with his with the money they pay him.
And that would bother me because
it should bother everybody.
Everybody, because if you want to hold Jed Hoyer accountable for what he said, no moves will be made without 2025 in mind, right? That's mm-hmm. the gist of what he said, is that every move that is made or every move that they don't make, the main guiding force here is that they want to be in a position to win and contend and compete again in 2025. Well, the best way to do that is to keep your strength a strength. Justin Steele, Shota Imanaga, Jamison Tyon.
Yep.
Gives you three quality starters at the front of your rotation. Then you can rely on young guys and you can add with free agency. Make a trade. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. Don't unload, though, for the sake of unloading because he's too expensive over the next two seasons.
Yeah, that's the only reason you make that deal. I agree with you. and I hope it doesn't happen. But I listened to that, and he sounds dejected. He sounds like someone has told him something. Now, maybe it's just some family member reading the internets. I don't know. But it feels more...
Maybe it's Bruce.
Like, I mean...
Could we blame Bruce?
If Bruce came to me and told me that I was on the trading block,
Bruce,
I would believe him.
What do you know?
If Bruce told me that the end was near, you know what I'd do? I'd start preparing for the end.
Well, I would wonder where the information's coming from, frankly, if I were Jameson Tynion. And I might be curious. He probably knows. His agent knows.
Yes.
The industry knows.
Yes.
He's an easy guy to integrate into any clubhouse. He's a consummate teammate and pro. And he has been very good. So it's not a surprise why teams would look at him as a piece that they would want to add. Also, Mully, I agree with your premise, and it bothers me about the money dump, salary dump aspect of it, but he's not that expensive, relatively speaking.
Well, for them, he's like the fourth highest charge, isn't he? Something like fourth or fifth highest salary?
Yes, he's at 17.
18, I think it is.
It moves up to 18. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he signed a four-year, $68 million deal, and he signed through 2026.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how old is he? You said 32?
He's 32, and he will turn 33 in November. He has two good years left on his deal. We had a texter who asked when we discussed this earlier, is Hall related to Tyone? Not that I'm aware of, but, you know, if that were the case, do a little Me and 23 was a little search. I'd be willing to go to the reunion because I think it'd be a heck of a party. But no, I just respect his.
He could afford to throw a big one.
He can. I just respect his professionalism, and I think he's been very good.
I do too. I like him a lot. Yeah, I'm looking at the 2024 active roster payroll, adjusted payroll salary. Dansby Swanson leads the charge, $26 million, followed by Happ and Suzuki, 21 each. Then you get Jameson Taillon, and then you get at 18 and Kyle Hendricks at 16.5.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, and then it drops down to 11 plus for Nico, and then Drew Smiley at 10.5 million.
We're not having the conversation about Kyle Hendricks, because he would be the ideal rental if he were pitching at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not really having that conversation because I don't think there's the interest. As for, you know, as for the other guys you mentioned, Drew Smiley, I think, could be somebody who attracts attention.
Lefty.
A little more expensive, but he's a left-handed veteran who has been in pennant races before. Nothing's going to faze him.
Hector Neris. Okay, so it goes then. Smiley, Toshoda, 9.25 million. Hector Neris, 9 million.
Wow.
Huh? I didn't know that he was making $9 million.
Yeah, that's not money well spent yet. He has been good in the clubhouse, but he's not been great on the mound. Blown too many saves. He has 14. He's 8-2. Eight decisions, eight wins. Does he lead the Cubs in wins?
And then the 10th highest salary, the 10th highest salary on the entire team.
Mm-hmm.
David Bodie at $5.5 million, 5.51.
His agent deserves some sort of promotion. He signed that deal and he took the money and the security.
He's not driving a crappy car anymore.
And he's not driving a beater car. And he's not living with relatives or friends in Mishawaka. Remember that story?
Yeah. That's how we kind of fell in love with him.
Oh, I love the story because he was in the basement of somebody in Mishawaka playing for the South Bend Cubs. And then look at him now signing a guaranteed contract that has made him a rich man. Good for David Bowie.
Yeah, that's great for him. It's great for him and for his family. And that's generational wealth. And congratulations. Mm. Let's try Jeff. Jeff is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff. Straight from the kitchen,
good
buddy.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I'm doing okay. I've been listening to you go through the five stages of grief, Mully, and it makes me sad. And I think I was probably one of the causes of it, because about a month or so ago when the Dodgers left town, I had started the Garrett Crochet to the Dodgers as a probable or a definite, I think.
Mm.
But here is my new, what I call my Obi-Wan principle, because it's our only hope. What if the Dodgers ask too much and gets a little hardball and decides he's not giving up Crochet, and we trade some pieces, but we keep Robert and Crochet. Next season, we start out with a new manager. We start out with some young guns that come up and maybe play decent, and we still have that good pitching staff. Louis Robert has an MVP type year. Vaughn starts meeting his criteria of what he was chosen at. And maybe Benintendi actually is a positive WAR player. And for some reason at the All-Star break next year, they find themselves close to first place, maybe in first place, or definitely in a wild card position. And they decide, hey, we're going to sign Crochet to an extension. Let's live in a fantasy world. Let's get away from all the dull.
Jeff, what are you drinking with your breakfast that you're cooking?
I love it, Jeff. I love the possibility, but what's the guy's name? Dan O'Dowd, you know, the former
Rockies general manager.
He was talking
MLB
about,
Network.
He said he looked at the White Sox and went through and he was checking out there, and he thinks they got some really good pitching on the way.
Yes.
But he said the position players are not there.
That's where I think that Jeff was on the right track. I don't think that it's a wild card possibility next year. That's where he lost me. That's where it seems like an excessive leap. It's too much. But I do think that you could conceivably keep Luis Robert Jr., keep Garrett Crochet, get rid of everything else, go into this offseason. If you are willing to spend a little bit, you do have, as we continue to say and will continue to harp, a young pitching infrastructure and foundation that you have to feel very good about. And you have leadership in the organization now in Brian Bannister that I think is the right guy for a big job. And if you're building around pitching, you need to have a consistent approach. And I think Brian Bannister offers you that. So there are things to be positive about with the White Sox and in that organization moving forward.
So it's 2024, and O'Dowd said 2027. That's what you have to aim for if you're a White Sox fan. Basically, he believes by 2027 they'll have the team in place that could do what you're talking about with the playoffs.
Well, I think that to me, and I'm not going to argue with somebody who's as accomplished as he is necessarily, I think that is very conservative. With young pitching, if it accelerates quickly, as we have seen some young pitching out of the draft accelerate quickly and be promoted, you could envision 2026 being more respectable and maybe flirting with that wild card spot. Maybe they're an 80 to 85 win team in 2026. Is that outlandish to consider if you have strong young pitching as a foundation of your team and your rotation is solid? Maybe. 2027 is conservative. 2026 is maybe a pipe dream. Next year is going to be all about development.
I got to tell you, it's just a hard thing to watch. And I understand they want to trade whatever they can trade and try to get position players in their system. That's what they're lacking.
Let's
play that game for 1 minute. How many surefire top shelf prospects actually make it? Is it a 1 out of 3 strike ratio? What is the level of strike ratio?
It's a really good question because I don't know the answer to it because it depends on maybe who's evaluating and whose prospect list you're using, if it's Baseball America or MLB Pipeline, whatever. But I do think it speaks to some of the things that the White Sox are considering and also some of the things that Cub fans are tired of hearing. I am tired of the prospect accumulation. I am tired of that's why I don't get excited and I can't get on board with this notion of trading Jameson Taillon, being a seller, a calculated seller at the deadline because you want to what? Get prospects. The Cubs have enough. The Cubs, how many prospects do you need? They have 8 in the top 100.
Yeah.
It's time to develop them, bring them up. There's not room for everybody.
I haven't seen the new list. They may have more than 8. I don't know.
Well, there's not room for everybody.
Yeah.
And they're not all hitting.
Right.
They're not all the strike rate isn't as good as you thought.
There is a stall. We have to take that into account. Doesn't mean the guy's not going to make it. But I go back to this. Yoan Moncada was the number one prospect in baseball, and he came to the major leagues. And what happened?
And now the White Sox want to have nothing to do with him. Now the White Sox want nothing to do with him.
And now he's pulled out of his rehab.
Yes.
Because he started feeling something dodgy. And he was whatever he
was. When's the last time he played?
It was earlier this week.
I don't want to say no, not like
for the White
field,
Sox.
For the
oh,
White
yeah,
Sox.
Yeah. Oh no, it's been months.
It was shortly after the season started,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But my point is simply, okay. I agree with what you're saying. They don't really want to see him anymore, and I don't know anybody that does. I think he would help because he's a good defensive player, but I don't know that anything about this historically wretched season would change because he comes back.
Nothing is going to change this historically wretched season. The 25-team option they have in Yoan Moncada. So is this the last of Yoan Moncada?
Probably.
Probably so. He's had 39 at-bats in 2024 if he doesn't return from the injury. Let me ask you this, and I don't think you know the answer. Maybe you do. Maybe we need an expert on the CBA or Major League Baseball rules. Who pays his salary if he leaves? Is there any insurance component that the White Sox that kicks in if he doesn't return because of an injury?
There must be. But I think he will. I mean, I don't think the injury is career impacting.
I mean, the season.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if they get any kind of.
Because he's not healing quickly.
Well,
he's not healing at all.
He's apparently not healing. So even though he went 8 of 15, which is pretty good, he's still feeling whatever it is, which I don't know if that's psychological. I don't know if that's part of the process of coming back from that kind of injury. But whatever it is, they've paused it.
Yeah, they have paused it. So we're getting off track. I think the one thing that we say, the Moncada example reminds it, and I think this is why you brought it up. When you have a sure thing as a prospect, it's never a sure thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it really isn't.
Moncada, Kopech, and they got two other guys. Mm-hmm. Out of this Chris Sale trade.
Basabi
and somebody else, right?
And the other guy.
None of them ever made it. Made it to the major leagues, but none of them made an impact.
And we have praised Jed Hoyer for the great purge of, you know, when they got rid of Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo. And in return came the prospects. And some of those have worked, and some of them haven't worked as well. Javi Baez produced PC AAA, and I don't know if Pete Crow Armstrong has hit yet, and he can't because he can't hit yet.
Yeah, the hitting is the problem. Did you see the Crochet, or he, I'm sorry, he said, Pete Crow Armstrong said that Craig Counsell talked to him, right?
That's interesting. I think we have that clip. I think Craig Counsell was on, I'm sorry, Pete Crow Armstrong was on
Pete Crow,
with the afternoon show and with Danny and Matt. And he was talking about Craig Counsell and the impact on what it was to play for him. And, you know, he's so casual with where he catches the ball and does this on the side and everything.
It almost looks like he's showing off. Like, I can catch it anyway.
There's a hot dog element. There's a casual element. And he's so cool. And this is what he had to say about Craig Counsell telling him about that.
No, there's been one time where Counts kind of got on me about a certain height of where I did catch it, and I think it was more so about like the overall effort of the ball, and it was a really poor read on my part, and I didn't really show much urgency and ended up catching the ball below my waist. And I think if we're talking to one of the pitchers, they probably are indifferent because I made the play, but I think it's more so about, you know, the professionalism of you know how you look out there too.
That's good to hear.
I like hearing that.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, because frankly, that sometimes bothers me about him. It's just sometimes he's too casual.
That all the time
doing.
Bothers me about him.
Yeah, he doesn't. It's not every play.
No.
But there are plenty of them where you're kind of like.
It's enough to notice.
Be professional.
It's enough to notice.
Don't let me know that you don't care because you're going to catch it. That makes me nervous as hell.
I think he cares, but I think he also cares about the appearance as much as the execution.
But he's trying to show you. I'm saying when he's doing that, he's telling you, I'm so good, I can just go like this. I don't even.
Yeah.
Just do it the proper way.
I'm glad the manager noticed. I'm glad the manager got in his face. I think he got in his face, Dustin. I think at least he held him accountable and said, hey, okay, enough. Enough. That's what you want your manager to do. That's what you're paying him to do, is to take care of little things like that. But PCA is an example of these prospects that you will get to start to hear, well, who do they get for Garrett Crochet? Who do they get for Eric Fetty?
Yes.
How many highly rated prospects the Dodger system did they raid? Well, prospects are just that.
Exactly.
Prospective major league players.
Yeah, and that should give everyone pause. It really should. It should make you look at that. You got to ask yourself, do the people making the decisions know what they're doing? I think that Chris Getz has done a pretty good job thus far. Mm-hmm. I think he kind of has a good feel for it. I like the way they've drafted. I think Mike Shirley is very good at his job. And I like that they've improved their pitching and their all their kind of network of that, as was evidenced by the interview with yesterday with Bannister. I like that kind of stuff. I don't know that I feel like that they are, you know, I feel like if they had to go raid the Padres system again, they could do that very well because they've gone through everything. How much work are they putting in to all these systems? Do they know more about these teams than know about themselves?
It makes you wonder about the size of the White Sox front office and the scouting.
It really does.
To see if they have a good enough grasp.
Yes. And I think their people are good, man. I'm not saying they aren't.
Are there enough of them? But I think you want them to be experts on the Padres, on the Dodgers, on all the teams they're dealing with, the Mariners, who have been rumored to be in on Luis Robert Jr.
The Mariners have a good system.
Can
raid that group.
Here's what I don't like.
Where is the 17-year-old Fernando Tatis Jr., Mr. David? They find him? Yes.
Find him. When you talk about the Padres, I don't necessarily like the idea of doing business with the Padres again. I think you got their best guys. About the Dodgers, I don't like the idea of sending all of your guys to the Dodgers because I think that you could split.
Do individual deals, I agree.
Yes. Yep. So stay away from the Padres. Trade only one guy to the Dodgers. If they want to take Kopech too, pair him with the guy you are trading to the Dodgers. And then if you're going to trade both your best assets, Robert and Crochet, which is unlikely to me, but find a third team. Don't go to the Padres. Don't go to the Dodgers. Go to someone else.
I couldn't agree more. Trade Eric Fetty to the Yankees for Spencer Jones.
Well, if they would do that.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Chris Getz is executive of the year.
Exactly. That's all I want.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we're going to talk to Tommy Hotovy next. Always a joy to talk to the Cubs pitching coach. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Pitching coach Tommy Hotovy of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover.
Tommy Hotovy, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it, at Boston U? Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah. I was a finance major in college, and I had an economics minor. A lot of it was, too, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hotovy, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mullin Haw.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hotovy on 670 The Score.
Tommy! Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. We love talking to Tommy Hottovy, the Cubs pitching coach, and he joins us now on the score hotline. Good morning, Tommy. Quick turnaround, late game, early today. God bless you. You're always right on time.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. That's what we do. We gotta get ready for the next day, put the next one behind us, the last one behind us, and get rolling.
Tough stretch after the All-Star break. I'm curious, just because the Cubs have struggled to the point that they have, Tommy, and I think it's 7 runs in 5 games since the break. How do you keep your pitchers from not letting the lack of offensive support get inside their heads? I know it's something that pitchers have to deal with all the time, but do you actively work, try to keep guys from thinking about how do you approach it? Because it has been the offensive issues persist.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we discuss it, we talk about it. I'm always into the approach that I always want to point out the elephant in the room and not try to avoid those conversations, because, you know, guys, you know, we're all human beings and feel different things and stuff. And so we talk a lot more about just the game situation when you're coming in, you know, evaluating where you are, what the game state is, and what we're trying to accomplish. Because, you know, it could be 7-6 and it's a 1-run game in the 7th inning when a reliever's coming in, or it can be 1-0. You know, both of them are 1-run games. Both of them are very different to how you got to that point. But again, the evaluating the situation for what it is, and that helps you really refocus on what you need to do when you're out there and doing your job. And it's easy to say, like, hey, just do our job and everything will be fine. Things will take care of themselves. But it's more about, for me, the game situation when you're coming in, being able to evaluate. And for these young, especially these young relievers that are experiencing some higher leverage moments, you know, more often than you would expect them to have early in their careers, it's a valuable lesson for them to be able to come in a lot of tight 1-run games and continue to learn how they need to attack in those moments to be successful.
I was saying to David earlier in the week how wonderful the bullpen has become, how hard you guys must have been working to kind of get that straightened out. The bullpen had been an issue. You know, we know what the blown saves are, all that stuff, but it feels like even as you're losing guys, you've solidified something in the bullpen.
Yeah, I think the bullpen's always an interesting dynamic when you head into a season. And you always compile a group in a bullpen that you feel like is going to be able to compete and have success. And it's also probably the most fluid part of a team in the fact that, you know, I've said this for a long time, like reliever success from year to year is very, you know, it's very difficult to predict because you're going to have injuries. You're going to have guys that go on 2 or 3 month runs, you know, and then and struggle. And it's also the one part of the team that you feel like you don't really get to make as many quick adjustments because guys still need to be available to pitch every day. Whereas if a starter is struggling with something mechanically, he's going to have bullpens between games to be able to work on things. So it just takes time. You know, it takes time, and it takes a lot of work from the players and obviously the coaching staff and the people to evaluate, like, what you're seeing, what you need to work on, and the credit to those guys for being able to handle it, to work on it. And when guys go down, you have young guys stepping up and really, you know, coming in their own to pitch. And you know, you lose a guy and the next guy just steps up. So, yeah, it's been fun to see that part of our group really start to come into their own, solidify what they want to do, what makes them successful, and just continue to go out there and do it every night.
Tommy, last night, Jameson Taillon was tremendous. 7 1/3, gave up an earned run, and certainly put the Cubs in a position to win that game. He has been very good this year, consistent and solid. And post-game, he's a very thoughtful professional athlete. He sounded reflective and almost wistful in talking about his time as a Cub. We hear the rumors. We talk about the speculation. I just wondered, was that part of his – how much of his thought process was about, you know, blocking out the trade rumors and just focusing on what he needed to do? And do you think that was something that was a factor last night?
Yeah, I think – With Jameson, he's no stranger to being around teams that have talked about trades and the future and what they're trying to do. And I think that's probably one of the most impressive things about what Jameson was able to do last night, was to block out a lot of the noise. He's a human being. He, you know, reads what is being said and what's been talked about. And obviously he has his, if he has his say, you know, he loves being here and it wants to be a Cub for a long time. And, but you know, I think to be able to take all that and then still go do your job, which is just to go out, compete, give your team a chance to win a ball game. Like, he did a fantastic job last night. That's a more of a testament to the person, to the work ethic, to like who Jameson is versus even his stuff in general. And, you know, it was fun to see. And again, he's going to come into work today and prep for his next start and be ready to go. And, you know, we'll worry about the other stuff when and if it happens. But I think for Jameson right now, like, he's feeling great. He's in a great place, as you guys can see, and we just need to keep rolling with that.
I'm curious, Tommy, when you are dealing with changes at the catcher position, as you are, does that impact the number of walks? There have been some walks, some higher number of walks of recent vintage. I'm just curious, how does the changing of catchers, or how does the catcher influence that within the game?
Yeah, I don't necessarily attribute like the changing catcher to increase walks, unless you're seeing those catchers that maybe just don't know the pitcher's strengths and are starting to ask the pitcher to do things that they're not, you know, either not accustomed to doing or not, you know, it's not what we would consider their strengths. And I don't believe, you know, like that's been the case. I think the hardest thing is just onboarding, you know, like for Tomas, onboarding a guy in the middle of the season with the guys he's never caught. You know, you're trying to expedite that process, because when you acquire a guy, you're doing it for a reason. You want him to get some playing time. So, you know, there's a lot, it's a lot of, like, you know, quick conversations, a lot of prep work on the front end, and then a lot of reminders through the game. And I tell them all the time, I'm like, hey, I'm going to throw stuff at you. It's not because I don't think you know. It's because I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. You know, when guys come in, I'll be like, hey, remember when this pitcher comes in, the lefties, it's fastballs up, back foot sliders, and, you know, changes down. We're like, just quick, simple, like, hitters to kind of help these guys. And they've been fantastic, you know, and, mm-hmm. and Miggy's been great, you know, this whole time. And he's been great, like, helping Tomas when he comes in to kind of get to know guys with quick information as well. And, so yeah, it's not an easy thing to do. It's more difficult on the player to really be able to understand how to navigate that. But in the end, we just encourage our guys to trust what they do and trust their strengths. And it's our job to get the catchers on board with that.
Good to see Julian Merriweather back in a close game in a high leverage situation. Wonder what you thought about his performance and how he fits in moving forward in terms of his role.
Yeah, obviously excited to get Julian back. Didn't quite want to have his first outing back, you know, with us in a tie ball game with the winning run on third base and less than two outs. I mean, that's a high leverage situation to be coming into, but it also tells you how much we trust him. And I think a lot of us have seen him pitch some really big moments for us over the last year now. And I thought he did great. I mean, he punched out the first guy face and then got to 1-2 on the second one and just left the slider in the zone. And, you know, he's got the stuff to come in those moments and get punch outs and be able to keep teams off the board. And he's going to continue to have those opportunities with us. The big thing for me with Julian is making sure that he recovers well today after last night. He felt great after the game. But yeah, really excited to have him back. And again, just continuing to lengthen out the bullpen.
Yeah, he got a lot of guys on the way, right? I mean, I don't know who's going to be there faster, but I'm just looking at all the rehab guys, and there are a lot of pitchers that are kind of on the way. Do you have to keep that in mind at all, Tommy, in terms of, you know, as you're balancing who's pitching here, there, if somebody's coming back, well, we'll have him come Friday, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you definitely. It's definitely something I keep in mind because I'm helping navigate all the schedules for all these guys. And it, you know, you feel like I've been you've been a rehab coordinator for the majority of the year with as many guys as you talk about every day. And yeah, it's just a big puzzle. You know, it's a big puzzle. You're navigating what the player needs and from a rehab perspective and a development perspective versus what the team needs, you know, at a given time and in the time period. So it's all intermingled but more importantly, like, you never want to rush a player just because the team needs something right away. I think you've seen that backfire. You've seen that not quite work the way you expect it. So number one, we try to keep the player's schedule and his path, you know, in mind on what we're trying to accomplish and get him back. And then obviously we can navigate and put those pieces together, that puzzle together, once those guys do, once we evaluate and feel like they're ready to go for what their expected workload would be in the big league. So definitely excited to be getting these guys back. Also very cognizant of the work they're putting in, making sure that they're, like I said, 100% ready when they do step foot in our clubhouse, they're ready to go.
Javier Assad uncharacteristically struggled with control the other day. 6 walks and 3 1/3, Tommy. Did not look comfortable necessarily, did not maybe have his stuff. What was the cause of that, and how do you fix it?
Yeah, I think for Javi, he is such a consistent worker. He's actually probably one of our heaviest throwers throughout the course of a week. So when Javi's in the normal, you know, start workload, you know, he throws quite a bit. It's just the way he's always been. You have guys that like Justin Steele that throws very little, and there's days you have to push him to like make sure he keeps his volume up and his throwing up. And then Javi, a lot of times you're like, hey, let's back off a little bit of the workload right now. And anytime you have a break, anytime you have an extended absence, which he had, you know, when he went on the IL, and then obviously with the All-Star break, those are always things I think I keep in mind. And you know, I feel like getting Javi now on a normal routine, a 5-day start, being able to get him some work off the mound consistently is just going to help him that much more. You know, he was on a fantastic run, you know, before he had the little forearm issue pop up. And, you know, then we took a break and he didn't get a throw for about 5 or 6 days. And then you're ramping back up and shorter bursts. So, you know, I have 100% faith in Javi being able to come back and execute his pitches in the strike zone. He's always been a strike thrower. He's been a guy that can, you know, move the ball around and throw strikes with multiple pitches. I feel like there was definitely some fatigue that set in pretty quickly after that long third inning the other day, and just wasn't able to recover from that. So, but like I said, expecting Javi to continue to build, continue to work, and be back out being the guy that we were accustomed to seeing.
When we talk about the trade deadline, David asked you about J-Mo and his kind of awareness of everything that's going on around him. How difficult is that for players? Do you remember when you were playing, was there always that feeling that something big could happen?
Well, for most people, yeah, I wasn't a good enough player, really, for teams to want to trade for me. But, you know, I'd say for most people, they're actually really good pitchers. You know, it's always kind of hangs out there. But, you know, you think about last year for us. Like, we were in the same position. There was a lot of talk about what's going to happen. It's going to be this, going to be that. And in the end, it was, you know, Jose Quas and Jamer Candelario, and I think it's you just cannot worry about the things you can't control. It's such a great life lesson for all of us to go through a process like this. And it's the same thing we preach for guys when they come in the games, like control what you can control. It's no different from what we're going through right now in the environment. It's definitely a tense environment right now, and the fact that there is a lot of uncertainty. But again, the more you can stay focused on, again, what you can control, what you can do, your thoughts, your process, then, you know, that's where we're at right now.
Tommy, curious, because I was a little surprised Jorge Lopez was in the game last night, and it was pretty close and obviously came through. When he comes to a new team, given what he went through with the Mets. I just wonder how those conversations go, because you are somebody who doesn't necessarily ignore the elephant in the room. And I think that was probably something that you guys would have to address with him, his past, what to expect, his temperament. How did you handle that?
Yeah, I think, number one, anytime a guy is getting a guy with a situation like that, you try to gather as much information as you possibly can. Background information on a player that you're getting, any former teammate, former coaches, you're trying to gather as much information as you possibly can. Luckily for us, like, we have Darren Holmes, our bullpen coach, who had and was with Jorge in Baltimore for the last 3 years. Tomas Nito caught him and played with him this year in New York. So we had a lot of people, contacted a lot of people that have been around him, been with him. And then the second thing is, like, get to know the player and give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, don't have these preconceived notions of who you think this person is or how you think they're going to handle certain situations just because they had one mishap. You know, give them the benefit of the doubt, make them, prove you wrong, and get to know them a little bit. And then once that happens and you see the work ethic the guy has, and you talk to him about what he's up to and what he's working on, and you get to know about him and his family and all those things, like, then you just kind of, you're kind of just right back in the flow of everything. And you're trusting that, this guy's pitched in some very high leverage situations, in his career and had a tough stretch, as we all do. And he's getting back to the version of himself that he believes he can be. He handled some adversity last night, tough ground ball back to him and a walk, and was able to pitch out that situation in a 1-0 game. So, yeah, it was really, really good to see.
Tommy, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you, as always, and good luck today.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
That's Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach. Very interesting, huh?
Good stuff. Yeah. A lot of different things that he said about his job has been very active and busy and diverse.
But they're...
scheduling rehabs.
Their pitching has been excellent. And this is always the problem when you're talking about the trade deadline and teams that where half the team's doing well and half the team
isn't.
It's
a tough reality.
You can't trade the guys that aren't doing well.
No.
So you wind up with these decisions to make on people that are actually helping you.
Bullpen was disappointing early. They've been pretty good of late. And when you score 7 runs in 5 games, you're not going to win a lot.
Oh, boy. Okay. Mullion Haw, 312-644-6767 at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
There's no lack of effort here, obviously, but it is tough to rely on the end of the game, right? You're facing the best arms usually at that point, and we had opportunities early on, and obviously an incredible outing from our starting pitcher that deserved to win. So, although we had chances in the eighth and ninth where we could have scored or won the game, it's tough to win baseball games not scoring for the first 7 innings.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. It's hard to win when you don't score a run, Mr. David. That's the lesson.
It's hard to win games when you have scored 7 total runs in the 5 games since the All-Star break.
Right.
And you get shut out again last night.
Crazy.
Against the Brewers. And so, yeah, that's right. You can have all the great pitching in the world, but it won't matter if you can't score. Want to follow up real quick on the Jameson Taillon rumor.
Yes.
And how we talked to Tommy Hotovy about how he manages that, compartmentalizes. We heard from Jameson Taillon sounding somewhat wistful and reflective after his great start. Another one. The Red Sox and the Yankees have been rumored. Bruce Levine, our guy, has been on top of this. He talked to Taillon after the game, and he's obviously on the scene. And he mentioned this on 670score.com. It's worth remembering. The catching prospect to keep an eye on is 22-year-old Kyle Teal, who's playing at AA Portland in the Red Sox organization. Teal is hitting .305 with 9 home runs, 51 runs batted in 68 games at AA, and he's a good defensive player. The Red Sox took him 14th overall in the 2023 MLB draft. High draft pick, highly rated prospect. If they trade Taillon to the Red Sox, it might take more than that to get a guy like that. I'm not quite sure, but that's the first name that I've seen mentioned, bandied about in terms of the Taillon sweepstakes, if you want to call it that. So would a double A former 14th overall pick catching prospect with some high upside be enough to say, okay, go ahead, give up Jamison Tyone for that?
These are all good questions. Here's the problem. You know, Miguel Amaya was supposed to be the guy that would be their long-term catcher, and he was taking over the job, and he was in control of everything.
Hot lately, but not good overall.
Not good overall. And you're right. I don't know this guy, the Shatil won like the Buster Posey Award when he was at Virginia. He was the ACC Player of the Year. He's a 14th overall draft pick. I mean, there's things to like about
good
him.
Good pedigree.
But we're talking again.
About, prospects.
That's what we're talking about.
Moses Ballesteros is supposed to be a guy. He's not a catcher, but he's a hitter. Okay, when's
he
coming
catcher?
Up?
I
don't know.
I saw a video of him throwing a guy out.
He catches. He throws. He's behind the plate. I think that's a catcher.
But is he good enough? I mean, here's the thing about that guy. Have you seen him? They list him at 5'7", 195 pounds. Now,
stocky.
Let me tell you something.
Right?
Is an old football stocky. Watcher.
Yeah.
I won't call myself a football scout, but as a guy who's looked at guys, that guy's 225 at least. 220 for sure. Okay? I mean, he's a big man.
He's a big man.
And I'm not saying that that's what's impacting his ability to catch, but they list him as a first baseman slash catcher because he's a big man.
Do they have nutritionists in the minors?
I'm not complaining about it. I just think if you know, you got him on
it's
the
fair concern.
Javon Dexter
good
routine.
Point. That's a good concern. I think Kyle Teal is an interesting name. All these things are fascinating to consider, but let's not move the goalposts, Jed Hoyer. I think that if you're talking about if you make this trade and you get a double-A catcher that's on his way up and all the things, okay, fine. People can get excited. Jim Callis can tell us how good he's going to be and all these things about
that's
the
good.
Future. But does it make you competitive in 2025?
If they trade him, right, at this trade deadline, that's a salary dump to me.
It's a dump.
So, I mean, I get it. Yeah, this guy's a really nice prospect, a former 14th overall pick, whatever. Whatever you get back. You got rid of a salary.
Doesn't do much for me.
And that's kind of the problem is that you've got a lot of guys down in the minor leagues and you've talked about not wanting to trade them. So, okay, so you're just going to add to that?
The ultimate reward is not the best minor league system in baseball.
That's right.
It's the World Series.
That's right. Get to it.
Get to it.
Let's go. Get to the pitching staff's good enough to get to win in the playoffs. Get to the playoffs. So what do you need to do that?
And your pitching staff would be majorly compromised if you get rid of Jamison Tyone.
Trade for some runs.
Yeah.
Trade for runs. Get somebody in here.
Do what the Bears did. Get some offense.
Get some touchdowns. Draft some touchdowns.
Scoring sevens.
We're going to bring in Ozzie Guillen next. We'll talk to Ozzie. Oh, my poor Ozzy. My heart goes out to him having to watch this stuff on a nightly basis. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.